Today's gospel reading is well known to many of us since it's part of the larger Christmas story, which is helpful because we only hear it read in church once every 7 years when the Feast of the Epiphany happens to fall on a Sunday, which it does today. The Christmas story is a happy story, a joyful story. But this reading about the Magi, the wise men, as it says in our English translation, or the three kings, as they're sometimes called, the Bible doesn't say anything about them being kings. This reading is a bit unclear as to whether it's a happy story or not. Of course, most of us think of it as a happy story. The arrival of the Magi marks the first time that Gentiles acknowledge who Jesus is. And in that sense, it's the beginning of Christ's mission to peoples everywhere, not just his own people of Israel. That's a happy story. And it's also the first recorded case of Christmas gifts. And that's happy too, I suppose. And of course, we have the star over Bethlehem, which the wise men have followed for hundreds, perhaps thousands of miles. And that star is one of the great symbols of hope and joy in the Bible and in the Christian church. We've even got one over the high altar that we only light up on one day a year on Christmas Eve. The symbol of the star over Bethlehem is so beloved that years ago, someone at Grace Church said, "Let's install a star over the altar, even though it will only be lit for 15 minutes a year." This year, though, I'm instituting a new tradition here at Grace Church. When Epiphany falls on a Sunday, we'll turn on the Christmas star to honor the three wise men. Look for the next Sunday lighting in 2019. While Epiphany is a joyful event, there is also something rather ominous about this passage from Matthew, isn't there? In verse 3, we learn that not only was King Herod frightened to learn that the Messiah, the King of the Jews, had been born, but, quote, all Jerusalem with him. And when Herod tells the Magi, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage," we know that he is lying, and that his intention is not to pay homage to Jesus, but to destroy him. Finally, after the wise men have completed their mission of kneeling before Jesus and presenting him their gifts, they have what you might call a bad dream, wherein they're warned not to return to Herod. And if we were to read on in the Gospel of Matthew, we would see even more that is frightening. The Holy Family fleeing Israel for Egypt for fear of their lives. And indeed, Herod lashing out at innocent children after learning the wise men had tricked him and had departed directly from Bethlehem for their own country. This fleeing, this violence, where does it begin? Well, it begins back in verse 3, where Matthew tells us that Herod was frightened and all Jerusalem with him. Why Herod was frightened is probably a pretty easy question to answer. If Jesus is the King of the Jews, then that means that Herod is not. And people, kings especially, don't like to give up power. But what about this part of all Jerusalem being frightened with him? Wasn't Jerusalem waiting expectantly for the Messiah? Why would the people have been frightened? There were those, like the chief priests and scribes, with whom Herod consults to determine where the Messiah would be born, who perhaps also feared that their positions of influence might be jeopardized. But if indeed Matthew is correct when he says that all Jerusalem was frightened, and even if he was speaking hyperbolically and it was really just many in Jerusalem that were frightened, what reason did they have to be frightened? They weren't the ones fleeing for their lives to a foreign country like poor Mary and Joseph and Jesus. On the surface, it looks like the only people who should have their apprehensions about this newborn king of the Jews are those whose positions of power might be jeopardized. Why should anyone else be apprehensive about this new king? Reason is because people then, like people now, often fear change. Perhaps even those who had been expecting the Messiah, who had been asking God to send him soon, weren't so sure about what his actual arrival might mean for them when that moment came. Because a question for a new king is not just, what can he do for me, but what will he expect of me? Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was good news for the world, but Jesus' gospel also has challenging news, which is that following the rules, that's not good enough. God wants us to open our hearts and reach out to our brothers and sisters, and not simply to maintain the world we know, but to build a better one. The Bible tells us that the wise men offer Jesus gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a symbol of kingship, and Jesus was king of the Jews. Frankincense is a symbol of priesthood, and Jesus is our great high priest. Myrrh is an ointment used to prepare a body for burial, and Jesus sacrificed his life for all of us. All of that was a part of Jesus' life. And even here in this story of the Epiphany that seems so happy, there are signs of hardship ahead. The seeds of Good Friday are already there in Bethlehem. Being a follower of Jesus, though, points us past Christmas and Epiphany onto and past Good Friday itself, and finally onto Easter, our ultimate destination and the ultimate good news. The news that in following Jesus, we will follow him into new life. Amen.